Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Sometimes what happens is when we have an expectation from God, we think God is going to do something, and He doesn't do it, or He doesn't do it in the time frame that we thought He was going to do it, doesn't do it in the way that we thought He was going to do it, and we can start to become cynical, and we can start to get embittered.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study through the books of the Old Testament prophets. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Malachi chapters 1 through 2. Now here's Pastor Brian.
You know, we've been talking about end times for years. We've been talking about different things that point toward the tribulation period and ultimately toward the second coming of Christ. And there are plenty of things out there, you know, that we could talk about. But these things are so, nobody ever saw these things coming. But the radical thing about gay marriage and then the transgender component that's now kind of the newest big thing is that they are, and this is just my thought, but my thought is that these are against the way God built the world. They are counter to creation itself. So they are an attempt to completely undo reality according to the one who made reality, God. So to me, it's so radical. It's not just a social revolution. It's bigger than that. It is a cosmic revolution, really. And it's going to keep going in that direction. Not to discourage you, but you know, I mean, that's it. We're seeing it. We're seeing the fabric of the created order being unraveled by human sin. Verse 12, may the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. So the man who divorces his wife, takes another wife, totally conscious of what he's doing, but then brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hand. Now, the covering the altar with tears and with weeping, some think that this is a reference to the brokenhearted women who have been abandoned by their husbands. And yet the hard-hearted husband disregards that completely. Seems like that could be what it's talking about. Yet you say, so God says, I'm not regarding your offering. And yet you say, why? For what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Verse 15, but did he not make from one, having a remnant of the Spirit, And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. Now, verse 15, I will just tell you that the translators, if you have three or four different translations, you'll find that each one of them probably translates this a little bit different because the translation apparently is very, very difficult. The translation being difficult makes it difficult to know exactly what he's talking about. So you just sort of wonder, okay, what is it that the Lord is saying here? And there's a number of different guesses. I think the best one here when he says, did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit, and why one? It seems like this is a reference back to Genesis, that God created man, created the woman, he brought the woman to the man, and then the two shall become one flesh. What God has joined together, let no one separate. That's men and women, husbands and wives. It seems like he's pointing them back to the original intent, kind of like Jesus did when in Mark chapter 10, when Jesus is in a dispute with the religious leaders and they say to him, the issue is divorce. They say to him, well, Moses, he said we could divorce our wives. And Jesus said, Moses permitted you to divorce your wife because of the hardness of your heart. But in the beginning, it was not so. So Jesus takes them back to Genesis. I think Malachi is doing the same thing, or the Lord's doing it through Malachi right here. He's taking them back to the same thing, that God would take the two and make them one. Why one? He seeks godly offspring. So we know that God is the author of marriage. God is the author of family. And God has set up the rules for marriage and family with the goal of producing godly offspring. God wants godly men and women to stay or to be, get married, to stay married, to have kids and raise them for the Lord. That's part of his plan for perpetuating his work. He's got other ways of doing it as well, but that's a primary way of doing it. And again, this is general knowledge that most of us have today. As we look at the breaking down of the social fabric of the nation, we can trace that back to the breaking down of the family. Where we see strong families, and we see healthy, godly kids coming from that, and we see them growing up, and we see them then stepping up and serving the Lord, and then growing up and marrying themselves and having their children and raising them, it's not only a beautiful thing, it's the way God intends it to be. But they're violating that. They're not considering that. They're completely disregarding that. And so therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none of you deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce. He hates divorce. Now, I won't belabor the divorce thing, but most people from a sociological standpoint recognize that the decline in the culture that has led to all of the issues and problems that we have today began not with divorce itself, but with no fault divorce laws that started here in the state of California. Because, you know, before the no fault divorce law, it wasn't that easy to get a divorce. You had to actually go through a process. You had to go before a judge. And sometimes a judge could just tell you, no, you can't get divorced. Those reasons aren't legitimate. I don't buy it. You go home and you get your lives together. What could you do? You know, the judge told us we got to stick together. But then the no-fault divorce laws came, which were basically you could just get divorced for anything, any reason you wanted to, and nobody could question you about it. And that created this tsunami of divorces. And we're still suffering the consequences of that because it spread from California. It spread all across the land for the most part. So again, my intention is not to go on talking about that, but that's what it is. But I want to look at something just a little bit different here. God hates divorce. Yes, he does. But let me just remind you, God hates a lot of things. And the reason I'm putting it this way is because I don't know how many, mostly women that I've spoken with over the years, who under the worst circumstances have done everything in their power to try to save their marriage because God hates divorce. God hates divorce. And I've said to many a lady, yes, he does, but he hates adultery too. And your husband committed adultery. So listen, you don't have to, this isn't like, and you know, it's, obviously you can recover from that. There are times when people do, and that's a beautiful thing. But a lot of times, there isn't a recovery because the man never really repents and he keeps going on. And he even dangles over the woman's head this passage in Malachi. Oh, God hates divorce. God hates divorce. Yeah, God hates divorce. He hates adultery. He hates abuse. He hates violence. He hates all that stuff. So let's just understand that. There are times when a divorce is legitimate. It's valid. It's right. It is the thing to do. It's the godly thing to do at times. But in a general sense, and in this context, of course, because like we've already seen, this is divorce based on adultery. These guys, they want these young pagan girls. They're tired of their, you know, the wife of your youth. So maybe we're talking 40, 50, 60-year-old men who are like, you know, I'm tired of you. I saw this really cute girl down at the marketplace. So I'm going to divorce you and marry her. So God hates divorce, he said, for it covers one's garment with violence. Now, again, the covering of one with a garment, it's not exactly clear what that means, but remember in the story of Ruth, where Ruth goes and she lays at the feet of Boaz and she says to him, she says, cover me with the corner of your garment. And based on that in another passage in Ezekiel that says something similar, many think that the picture here is that the garment was, the covering was the promise. As you would cover your bride in the garment, you were basically saying, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to be that man for you. But divorce turns that into not a protection, but it's a violent thing. And it is very violent. Divorce is a horrible thing. It's a very violent thing. And many people have been really, really, really abused by it. Therefore, says the Lord, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or, where is the God of justice? So this is another thing they were saying. They were, we don't see any evidence for the love of God in our lives. God doesn't love us. What has he ever done for us? These are the kinds of things that they're saying. Oh, these sacrifices. Why do we even do this? What's the point? Who is the Lord? Now, think about it in the, kind of put it in the historical context. So let's just say 100 years. It's not quite 100 years, but almost 100 years ago, they came back from the Babylonian captivity and they rebuilt the temple. And they came back with the expectation of prosperity and flourishing and those kinds of things. But they're still under Persian rule at this point. And things aren't going very well for them. Instead of looking at themselves and saying, things aren't going very well because we're in sin, they start to blame God. And so that's why their attitude is the way it is. Well, I mean, is there any justice in God? I don't see any justice in God. Look at that. You know, the bad guys, they seem to be having the best time. Why should we follow God? Why should we do what is right? You know, what is right after all? You know, that's not evil, that's good. That's not good, that's evil. Sounds like today. Right? So I think the thing as we close to just think about is they got here through a process. They didn't just one day go from I love you, Lord, to I don't even know anymore about God. It was a process. It was a process of a lack of faith, not believing the promises of God. It was a process that included ongoing disobedience on their part. Maybe not huge stuff, but enough to harden their hearts. It was a process of just being content with outward religious activity and not being concerned about true heart engagement. And so all of those things are things that we today in our generation, we have to watch out for those things as well. And you know, sometimes what happens is when we have an expectation from God, we think God is going to do something and he doesn't do it, or he doesn't do it in the time frame that we thought he was going to do it, he doesn't do it in the way that we thought he was going to do it, and we can start to become cynical, and we can start to get embittered. I used to wonder, I don't know if I said this recently, I know I said it to somebody, but it might have just been on a personal level, but over the years, people would come to me and, you know, in the course of counseling, it would come out that I'm bitter at God. That's what they would end up saying. I'm bitter at God. I'm angry with God. And I always thought to myself, I don't get that. I really didn't understand that because I hadn't experienced anything like that. So to me, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. But nevertheless, it was absolutely a reality for many people. Well, as time went on and I lived life longer and went through more experiences, you know, one day all of a sudden I realized I am on a path toward bitterness against God. And God, thank you that you just showed me that. Because the thing I couldn't really understand, I am walking toward it, but I couldn't see it. But I suddenly did see it. And thank God I saw it because I was able to say, whoa, wait a second. No, I... And it was rooted in disappointment. It was rooted in, wait, God, I thought you said this. But Lord, it's been so long. And all these different kinds of things where things God really did speak to me, but then I sort of added to them my take on it regarding the time frame of it or the circumstances about how it was all going to happen or, you know, those kinds of things. And I began to see, wow, this is a subtle thing. And it can creep up on you. And before you know it, it can get a grip on you. And I started thinking about people like Absalom, you know, Absalom, the son of David, who was ended up being killed by Joab, the general of David, because he tried to overthrow David. He pulled a coup, basically, and tried to dethrone David. Anyway, I started thinking about where Absalom went wrong, because bitterness is what drove him to where he finally went. But he went wrong not because he was wrong, because much of what he saw and felt was absolutely right. He saw the injustice that was being done under his father's administration. He saw the compromises of David in his family life. He saw the effects of those compromises in the kingdom. And he saw all these things, and nobody else wanted to admit it, but Absalom saw it, and he was right. Those things were wrong. But Absalom went wrong when he stopped trusting God and tried to make things right himself. He took the situation into his own hands and no longer trusted God. And that led to his downfall. And I think, you know, there are many people in the church today who are bitter. They're bitter people, and they're being eaten away because of injustices that they have maybe seen, or maybe they've even experienced them. But instead of doing the right thing, of turning those over to the Lord and saying, Lord, you know. If anybody knows about injustice, Jesus does. Yes. Right? Yes. Nobody faced injustice in the whole history of the world like Jesus did. So if anybody knows it, Jesus knows it. So we can bring those things to him and put them before him and say, Lord, I trust you to deal with this. I can forgive. I can let go. I can release this because it's not mine to carry. It's not mine to fix. It's not mine to figure out. It's your problem. And if we don't do that, when we come into these kinds of seasons, then eventually we'll end up like these people, where we're just doing nothing but going through the motions. And in the end of the day, we're just bitter. We're bitter at everybody, but deep, deep down, we're really bitter at God. So Lord, help us not to go there ever.
For the month of April, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Gullible's Travels, One Pastor's Journey from Bondage and Addiction to Freedom and Victory by Nick Lawn. Have you ever felt that God can't use you anymore because of a past sin as a Christian? Or are you currently experiencing spiritual defeat and longing for victory? In his book, Gullible's Travels, Nick Lawn shares his testimony of the power of God's grace that delivered him from the bondage of sin while being called as a pastor and missionary. If you've ever wondered if God could use you again after backsliding, this book will powerfully remind you that we serve a God of many chances. So we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com. to order Gullible's Travels by Nick Long. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Malachi. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.